Joy Walker has published her first book, and it's one you want to read. After listening to the infectious energy and, yes, joy of Joy Walker and of her book, Finding Joy in the West, you will want to get it and meet her at one of her events. Stay tuned. Joy Walker, welcome to this episode of Dialogues with Creators. I would like to start by you telling us about your early life and how you got to Calhoun, Georgia from the Midwest.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me, Barbara. You're just going to jump right in here, aren't we? I was born in Michigan, grew up in Indiana. And I'm the youngest of six children. And one of my sisters found that they needed more speech therapists in Georgia than they did in Indiana. So she came down and I came to visit her every spring break for my whole high school years and my college years. And I ended up just falling in love with the area. I hate the cold. I love Indiana and Michigan, but I can't stand it from, from November to April. So I came down here. And a side note, somebody, I don't even know who it was, but somebody when I had just graduated from college, somebody said, well, you won't find a job in Fort Wayne Community Schools where I grew up. So I just, in my little narrow tunnel vision thinking, I thought, well, if I can't find a job in Fort Wayne, I guess I'll move to Georgia. So that's about as much thought that went into it. I don't know who that person was and why they thought I wouldn't find a job. I grew up in Fort Wayne. I went to the same school system from kindergarten to 12th grade. I went to a very, very reputable college called Taylor University in Indiana. I got my master's at Indiana University. So I have no idea why I believed this person that she told me I wouldn't get a job there, but I believed her. And I thought I'd come down here, probably teach 5 years or so, and then do something else. And 30 years later, I retired from Adairsville Elementary School. And when I retired, I embarked on a new career, which is where I met you.
Yes. So what did you teach at Adairsville?
I taught elementary children. I taught physical education.
Okay. So I bet that was fun.
It was a blast. I loved it. I really don't know what else I would have done. I don't think I would do anything differently. I think it's kind of odd how I ended up down here, but I think somehow God always weaves those paths. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. I guess, one question, if we were talking about education, it would be, do you think children today are getting enough exercise and physical education?
Do you really think I would say yes to that? No, absolutely not. Children are supposed to have recess every day. They're supposed to have physical education 30 minutes a day. It doesn't happen. I was only able to see, our school was so large, and I was the only physical education teacher for probably 27 of those 30 years. I was the only one. So I was only able to see them one day a week, and that's just not enough. And children, today we are baby boomers, and we grew up going outside when we got home and we played until the streetlights came on and that sort of thing. And there are children who do that still, but it's not as common as it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So after this 30 years, which I know were rewarding, you, like you said, went into a different profession or career, whatever. And you are a woman with a dream. And so I want to talk about that dream. And we, you know, I put in my notes ahead of time the idea that a dream is just ideas without a goal. There's another way that that's pronounced, but it's or said, but it's the idea that if you don't have a goal, just and a way to get to that goal, a dream is just kind of there. It's like something you think about. But you had a goal and a dream and you achieved it or in the process of achieving it. So what is that goal? Tell us about it.
Well, you are exactly right. It started with the dream, started with an idea. When I was in third grade, two things happened. Number one, I was third and fourth grade. I won that Young Authors Award, and I got to go hear a real author. And I just, it just like became a thing. I just thought one day I want to write. So when I was a kid, I told everybody I wanted to be a teacher and an author. Well, I completed the teacher thing. I did that for 30 years. And so I realized I haven't gotten to do that second idea, that second goal, that second dream. The other thing that happened at the exact same time, when I was 9, my brother, who was 15 at the time, rode his bike across the country. And I thought that was way cool. We had a map on the wall and we plugged out where he was every time my dad heard from him, whatever. And when I was 10, my sister decided, the sister I moved down here to Georgia with, her name is Sandy. She decided she was going to do the same thing. So she rode her bike across the country too. Well, she, allowed me, I don't know how you want to say it, but I got to go on some of her training rides before she went on that trip. And I was just like, I want to do this. This is something I want to do. And I begged her like she had anything to do with it. I was begging my sister to let me go on the cross country trip with her. And clearly a 10-year-old on a big trip, I was too young. I couldn't have handled it, but it was a dream that stayed latent in the back of my head for years and years and years. And in 2010, in 2009, I graduated with yet another thing that had been latent in my head. I graduated with my doctorate degree and a doctor of education in teacher leadership. And after that, I wanted to just get out there and live life. And one of those things that came up was I want to ride my bike across the country. So I rode my bike in 2009 across the state of Michigan with my uncle, who was 78 at the time. And that kind of gave me he had been doing it for years. And that kind of gave me the confidence that if I can ride across the state, maybe I could ride across the country. And the next summer, it was like, okay, this is the summer to do it. So I rode my bike across the country in 2010. And that was the best summer of my life. It was just amazing. And while I'm going to just keep on going, while I was riding, in my head, I was thinking, I want to do this again. I want to do this again. I can't wait till next summer. I want to do it again. And around about the time I got to New York, we had 3 days of freezing cold rain. And I started tweaking that dream. I said, I don't know if I want to do this again. But it was on a schedule we had to get to. I went with a group of 32 people. And we had to get to the next destination so I started thinking, well, maybe I could do it faster. Maybe I could do it And I thought maybe I would grab a few friends, we'd get a motor home and we'd all take turns. One of us would drive and the other three would ride. And I had all this idea, but one thing I forgot to do is tell anybody about that idea I had in my head. So obviously I didn't have three other friends that just kind of emerged out of the woodwork. And so when I retired, I just said, I guess I'm going to have to be the one to do this. And I thought in my head, I would buy the motor home and I thought I would drive to one place and then ride my bike back and forth. And I had all these ideas and it finally evolved to maybe because I've had lots and lots of injuries and my body parts are just wearing out, my feet and my knees just can't handle the distances anymore. My dream changed from riding across the country again to this time, how about I ride in all 50 states? So that's kind of where I, by the time I retired, that was fully my dream. I was going to ride my bike in all 50 states, buy the motorhome, ride my bike, and then come home and write about it. And that little thing didn't quite happen as I had anticipated. Spoiler alert, I wrote this in Finding Joy in the West. I got hurt on my very first trip out west. And my brother, Tom, flew out. I only have one brother, so I always call him my favorite brother. But my favorite brother, Tom, flew out to Spokane. He had just bought a house in Asheville, North Carolina. He and his wife had traveled in a motorhome for 2.5-3 years, full time. They sold their house and hadn't bought a new house yet or whatever and wanted to travel. And so anyway, he flew all the way out to Spokane, picked me up, and it took me 3 months to get to Spokane, Washington. And I was hanging out with cousins. I had only been at their house for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 hours. And that's when I got hurt. Sadly, it wasn't anything dramatic. I wasn't out on a great epic ride or anything. I just literally stepped in a hole. I didn't see a hole in the driveway, and I stepped in a little hole and my knee dislocated, and I hit the ground and fractured the kneecap, and my trip came to a screeching halt there. So anyway, back to my brother, drove me home. It took me 3 months to get there. Took us 5 days to get home, and I was home for a while, decided to have foot surgery because my feet had been a problem for a long time. Went back out on a trip and subsequently broke my ankle, the same leg. It's the same knee, the same foot, the same ankle. So I was back in the boot for months on end. And I went on one more trip. I went to the East Coast where my brother and his wife actually started off the trip and met me in Maine about halfway through. And then my brother met me on the tail end. So my brother was the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Finding Joy in the East book that I'm working on right now. And I came back from that trip and realized I'm probably not going to get this done as quickly as I had wanted to. At that point, I was probably somewhere around 38 to 40 states I had done, and I realized I had a lot more to get done. So I came back home and started writing Finding Joy in the West. I decided instead of writing one book about all 50 states, I'd kind of write it in segments and make... It's kind of interesting how your dream just kind of keeps evolving as life happens. And the dream never went away. I still wanted to be a writer. I still wanted to write about my travels. But I ended up, and ironically, you know, I'd This was a dream since third grade. I wanted to be a writer. I had no idea what the difference was between being a writer and being an author to actually publish a book. If anybody had told me how hard it was to write a book, I might not have even tried. So it's a good thing that, you know, just enough to get started, but not enough. You don't know the whole story.
Okay. So you're in order to get this dream, you had to buy something, which was your RV.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was that like?
Oh, I went all over the map on that one too. My initial idea was to get something that I could drive, something that wasn't too big, so that I felt like I was nimble enough to get around and not too, anyway, that my initial idea was to get something small enough for me, but big enough for company. If, for example, my brother could come with me, or a niece or nephew or whatever could come with me on a trip, I would like to do that. But I went full circle. I looked and looked and looked. I looked online. I looked in Indiana. I had all sorts of ideas of maybe I'll buy one from somebody in California and I'll, you know, start my trip there. And I just had all these ideas. I wanted gas and I wanted diesel. I wanted the truck and the trailer. And then I wanted the motorhome. I just had all these ideas, but I ultimately came right back to exactly what I had envisioned in the first place. And what I bought was called a Class C motorhome, and it's about the size of a UPS truck. So if you can picture a UPS truck with windows, and mine has the little overhang. So I have a bed up above the cab and I have a bed in the back.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as I'm reading your book, and I just think, you know, you have to maneuver that vehicle in different places, and you write about how you frequently got lost. And I'm like, oh my goodness, she's so out in the middle of nowhere. I think, were you ever, I mean, one thing that hit, a lot of times you say you stay at a Planet Fitness, or you stay at a Walmart, or you stay at a camping resort, or whatever they call it, camping park. Were you ever worried about your safety?
No, as a matter of fact, it seems everyone else was worried about my safety.
Except you.
Yeah, I had a couple of times where I was in a parking lot where it just didn't feel comfortable. And I remember making a promise to myself early on that if I just didn't feel right about a place, I would move. And that is one advantage of having the motorhome that I have. I didn't have to get out of my truck and get into the trailer. Or I never unhooked or anything like that. So I could literally just, if I didn't feel right about a place, I could just jump in the cab and start driving. Okay. And I only did that maybe twice. That one time it was literally just because it was loud. And I thought I was by a road that was busier than I had thought it would be. And I was next to the Planet Fitness. So I wasn't right in their parking lot, and it just felt a little uneasy. So I drove down the street and went to a Walmart.
Yeah. So Planet Fitnesses don't care if you park in their parking lot.
That's a good question. Some of them do not. I always asked, and I always asked at Walmart as well, because some Walmarts would be fine with it, except the city says it's a city ordinance.
Oh.
And some Planet Fitnesses are open 24 hours and they could care less. Some of them are in great big parking lots and some of them are in teeny tiny parking lots. So
right.
I always asked. And if I came, you know, you don't know all of that before you get there. Sometimes I would call ahead, but if they had a small parking lot, I wasn't going to ever even ask if I could stay the night there. But if they're in a mall parking lot and the, you know, there's plenty of space, I would ask, yeah. And they'd go, oh yeah, I don't think it matters. And,
okay. Yeah. So these are questions sort of about the logistics of you getting on the road and going to these places. And so the book is about your journey and your progress and the people you meet, and which you're so outgoing. You meet everybody and you're everyone's friend. So, but what is it about a bike? What is it about a bicycle that just is you?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's a very good question, Barbara. I really can't place it other than I learned how to ride my bike when I was 5 and yeah. My dad taught me how to ride, and there's just something about it. I rode all through high school. I rode in college. I like that you can get places faster and see more than you can running.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy running until I was 30 something. I just ran because I knew it was good for me. I ran because I played basketball in high school and I needed to get in shape, or when I was in college, it was really easy to just go. I was not the disciplined person I've always wanted to be. I would be studying late at night and I'd need to take a break mentally, and I could just go out for a run at 8, at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. Sometimes when it starts snowing, I'd go out for a run just because I love to run in the snow. But there's something about the bike that, I don't know, I feel free. I never put earbuds in my ears. I want to listen to the squirrels. I want to see what's going on. And I feel like I love to go fast. So that was a thing I'd actually, if I would ride with people, we would challenge each other and we'd see how fast we could go. I rode my bike to work for about 5 years. I lived in Rome, and I would challenge myself to see how fast I could ride. It was exactly 20 miles from my door from my gym, from my home door to the door in the gym. And I would try to get there under an hour. Is just the challenge of it, the freeness of it, and the fact that I can cover more miles.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't run like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I guess it's fun to ride a bike, but to do it the way you do, I just see so much. It's traffic. People in traffic are mean.
Yeah, they are.
I just see so many possibilities for just being run over or hurting yourself. So. Yeah.
And I just, like, people are worried about me in the RV. I'm one of those people that I believe there's more good people out there than bad. Yeah. And yeah.
And there are.
Where I do wear a helmet. I never leave my driveway without a helmet. I have a rear view mirror attached to my sunglasses or to my helmet. I always have a tail light. Well, since 2010, I've been riding with a tail light and a headlight. I do that in daylight or when I was riding my bike I rode my bike after I moved here to Calhoun too. I rode my bike a lot to school, and it was dark because I had to be there dressed and ready to go by 7. So it was dark in the morning, but I had headlight, taillight. And fortunately I had one incident on the coast to coast ride. But for the most part, I've never had, most people will get over or they'll slow down. And I know in today's world, people are distracted as they drive, but so far I've been fortunate. And I always tell everybody, if I die on my bike, at least, you know, I died happy, because there's just that freedom. The other thing I like about the bike is you can ride alone and you can ride with others. Like a sport like tennis, it's kind of hard to do that by yourself. Yeah, you can go hit up against the wall or whatever, but sometimes you can't even find a wall.
Yeah. So. Yeah, a bike would be very functional for that. So I'm just fascinated. Can you name the states that you travel to in order in the book of the Finding Joy in the West?
Oh, that's a really good question. But no, my answer would be no, I can't.
Yeah. Okay. So I won't bug you on that.
Well, if you go across the top, if you look at a map, I started in Georgia. I went to Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, and then I went back to Indiana and went across all the way toward California. I got as far as Illinois. I mean, as far as Washington, Spokane. Seattle was my next stop after Spokane. But I kind of zigzagged a little bit because I dipped down into Nebraska. Only rode in Nebraska for probably 25 miles or so. It's kind of my own little rule that I ride in the state. So there's no set. I'm not trying to break a Guinness Book of World Records or anything. If I ride 25 miles or so in a state, sometimes I've ridden 25 miles 10 times in a state. And sometimes it's only, once or twice, and I call that state done.
Mm-hmm. So it's mostly in the Southwest where you haven't gotten to yet.
That's another good question. I actually have taken the Southwest trip, so I'm not sure if that will be book number 3 or if I'll wait until I've finished all 50 and write book number 3 as all of those. But I did 6 states in the Southwest that I did that in 2022.
Oh, golly. Okay. So good. All right. So you're still in process.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things I wanted to touch on as we talk today. The first is how you wrote the book and then prepared for its launch. You've been busy launching the book.
I have been, yes. How I wrote the book, I started January of 22. I started writing. I got my first draft done before I took the Southwest trip in the fall of 22. I think I took off there somewhere around Labor Day to do the Southwest trip. And I had my first draft finished, went to my very first conference that spring, and met a woman, Marianne Stefanelli, that she became my editor. And I sent my first draft to her, and I thought she would, I honestly thought she'd tell me to italicize this, and I wouldn't put this in caps, and are you sure this needs to be in here or whatever? But I was pretty darn excited about it. I thought I was finished. I thought I'd come home from the Southwest trip and publish the book and, be done with it. 13 drafts later, Finding Joy in the West finally came into fruition. I didn't realize, it's kind of funny that, I taught physical education. I didn't have a degree in writing, or I've always called myself a reader, but while I was teaching, and I was mowing my grass and I was cleaning my house on weekends. And so I probably was one of those, read half a dozen books a year kind of people. And I certainly wasn't reading with the lens of a writer. And I'm losing my train of thought here. I always do that. But I realized that you can't just decide you're going to be a writer and just poof, you're a writer. Like, I'm going to retire from teaching physical education. And I think in my next career, I'll be an eye surgeon. You don't risk, you know. So I've been on a learning curve on the writing scale. I've read tons more books. I'm reading more like 50 to 100 books now a year instead of a half a dozen. I'm reading books in my genre, which is memoir and travel. And I didn't even know that. I mean, that was all stuff I had to learn. And I'm reading books about writing. The only Stephen King book I've ever read is his book on writing. Yeah, I'm learning a whole, there's lots to learn. So I'm on this learning curve. But anyway, after, on my East Coast trip, I met a fella that I became friends with instantly. We exchanged email and phone number or whatever. I met he and his daughter and his sister-in-law. Met them on a beach somewhere between Jerusalem and Galilee. And there is literally a Jerusalem, Rhode Island, and the Galilee, Rhode Island. And I met them on the beach and kind of just connected. I connect with a lot of people. Sometimes you meet people and you don't, there's no connection. And other times, anyway, we kept in touch, and every year he and his wife would go down to the Florida Keys and stay for the winter because he lives in Connecticut. And his wife passed away about 5 years ago, and he continues to go. So he invited me to come down, and I stayed for 1 month in the Keys last year. And then this year I stayed for 2 months. And while I was down there, I was developing friendships and all. And I said all of that to say that the book was getting really, really close to being finished, but I knew I had to finish it while I was down there. I had to get the copies in my hands down there and start and do a book talk, because I had probably 100, 120 people that I knew by name in this resort where I was staying. And I wanted to go ahead and do a book talk and a book launch down there. So we got it finished in a hurry. I did have a friend do my book cover, and Vicky McIntyre, you know, helped me get it published, and we got it done. So after 3 years of working on that thing, I finally got it published, and it came out April 1st. So I got to do the book talk down there in the Keys. And then I, while I was in the Keys, I was scheduling things for up here. So, I've been doing a book talk about every weekend or a book signing.
Right. Well, and I appreciate that, because I had last year, I spent a lot of time going places and doing the same thing. What I like about yours, though, is that you were wearing a T-shirt the other day that I saw, and it was Finding Joy. It's a movement. Uh-huh. So what is your vision about that?
Well, I got that. I kind of stole the idea from a podcast. Can't even remember who it was, because I listen to podcasts about writing all the time. And
yeah,
it was another interview. Podcaster was interviewing a new author, and she started a movement, she called it. And I don't even remember. I hate to say it that I don't remember who it was or what her movement was, but I just heard that word, movement, and so I decided that I'll just make Finding Joy a movement, and it's a little bit of a play on my name, because my name is Joy, but my book is not only about finding joy for me, but I want to encourage others to find joy. Mm-hmm. And I want people to, if riding your bike isn't your thing, that's fine. If RVing isn't your thing, some people don't, you know, they want to travel, but they'd rather go do it in a motel or in an Airbnb or whatever. But I just want to encourage other people to, because I didn't really, yes, I was enjoying life up until I got my doctorate degree, but I did feel like I was really 100% just focused on my career. And now I after I got my doctorate degree, I just decided I wanted to step out and enjoy life more. So I want to encourage other people to maybe not necessarily wait until you retire to buy your motorhome or retire. You don't even know. I mean, I have heard so many friends already that have passed away within the first year of their retirement, or they died right before they were going to retire. So they had all these dreams in front of them.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage people before that, don't wait till tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Yeah. I agree with that, because in my earlier life, you know, I'm retiring this week. This is my last week at Dalton State. And I decided years ago that I was not going to wait until I was retired, because I didn't know when that would be, to travel. So I have been able to go a lot of places that I, if I were to had waited until I'm this age, I don't think I would have been able to do it as much. It would have had the energy for it. Now, I'm still going to travel. I'm hoping to go to Turkey with my church in September, but you know, it's a lot of walking, and it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of stress and things like that. And there's, mm-hmm. and life changes. So, yeah, I also think it's cool because your book is about physical movement, and you know, so it's a move. It's a little, it's a play on words there,
right,
as well. And, you know, I just find that physical movement is so important. You know, everybody's got to be different. They might not be able to ride a bike, but you know, they should be out walking, they should be out swimming, they should be out physically moving. And it's a big big problem in our mm-hmm. culture. We're too much on our screens, like you and I are right now.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to talk about, and this is going to require you to kind of condense a 45-minute talk into about 5 minutes, but you recently gave a talk for the Colorful Crow Writers Group about dichotomies in writing, and you had 50 of them, so we don't obviously have time for that. But so I thought it was interesting that you chose these to phrase these as opposing points of view on writing. And yet they're all true in their own way. So if you'd like to share a few of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I just sat down because my goal is to write in 50 shape. I just sat down and started writing out
50.
Yeah. And so I came up with 50, and some of them are probably a little much more of a reach than others. But this is my writing journey. We've got lots of plays on words here, because the finding joy you mentioned, I was always getting lost in finding joy in the West. And did a little bit of that in finding joy in the East as well. But there were detours and storms and things that were contributing to my getting lost as well. And lots of no cell phone service. So the finding joy was partly it kind of became my MO because I was always getting lost, but it's also a little bit of my spiritual journey that I had not been where I wanted to be in terms of my relationship with God. And so I'm kind of finding joy in God as well. So lots of little plays on words and those kind of things come to my head. So as I'm on my writing journey now, I started thinking about all of the things I've learned from podcasts and the books I've read, and just the thoughts that come to me when I'm riding, R-I-D-I-N-G, when I'm riding, I have thoughts that come to my head. And so one of them is that writing is all about the writer, and the dichotomy is that writing is all about the reader. So if you're, because I, once again, I didn't even know I was writing a memoir until my editor, Marianne, described what a memoir, it's writing about your life and it's a piece of your life. And so therefore it is a memoir. So it does have to be authentic. It has to be all about me. People don't want just this generic story. But then if it's not about the reader, if it's not about me encouraging you to find joy, then it's only, then it falls flat too. So somehow I'm learning to make it all about me and make it all about you at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that's one dichotomy. Another one, I guess to add to that, you kind of just need to be authentic. I think people want to see the raw, I'm lost and I'm freaking out mode of joy, that I'm not all together. I don't have it. You know, I'm not as organized as I would like to be sometimes or whatever. But you always want it to be a little bit entertaining, a little bit fun for the reader as well. Mm-hmm. Another dichotomy I noticed, you absolutely need to tell the truth. I won't, there's nothing in my book that is not true. It all happened legitimately. That's my story. But you also don't want to throw anybody under the bus. And so you've got to tell the truth. But one story, I'll just say I left one story out because it wasn't making anybody look good. And I don't want to make somebody look bad. It didn't make me look good if I'm making somebody else look bad. And I did have to change a couple of names, and location to still make the story is still true, but I don't want to make somebody look bad or whatever. So, here's another one for you. Your phone will steal your time and your phone will save you time. So your phone is your enemy. Yeah. And your phone is your friend. I have to look back at my phone, at my pictures on my phone. But sometimes I can be writing. I go, okay, well, wait, did that, which one happened first? So I grab my phone to look back at the pictures. And before you know it, you've just spent 30 minutes. Am I now writing or am I looking at pictures here? And part of it is, you know, so you got to find that balance of, I often write with the phone in the other room because, holy cow, you get a text message. Even if you don't answer it right away, it ruins your train of thought. It just, now you're thinking about the text message that you just got. And so I can't focus on the writing.
Yeah.
We're not always good what do we call that? Multitasking.
Right.
And our skill of multitasking is we think.
There's a whole science to that. I read a book recently with the other faculty called Deep Work. And there's a whole science of attention now and how when you're pulled away from something, usually by phones and electronic, that it's very hard. It takes more time to get back to it.
Yeah.
Get back to that flow state that you were in. So,
yeah,
I found your dichotomies very, very interesting. And I need to download them and kind of go over them again. And you shared a lot of wisdom with us. Well, so you're looking at publishing two more installments of this.
At least two. It might be three. The Southwest might be book number three. And then I have five states after the Southwest that might be included in book number four.
Yeah. So where can somebody get your book?
Oh, good question. Thanks for asking. Everything is on my website. I started a website about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, where I write blogs and I've added a newsletter. But my website has a button where you can click on and you can buy my book.
And your website,
my website says it's joymwalker.com. It's just my name, joymwalker.com. And it's also, it's on Amazon, on walmart.com, on Barnes & Noble, on Books A Million, you know, pretty much where books are sold. And I'm starting to get it in a few local bookstores there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Joy, thank you so much for being with us today. And I really want to encourage people to get her book, and it's inspirational. And I like talking to you because when I think of somebody who is this, this active and getting out there and doing that kind of bike riding and those kinds of thing, I think there's a natural tendency for us to think they must be really disciplined and really hard-nosed to just driven. And you are so not that. And that's what I like, is that you did this because it was a goal, but it was a joy. It wasn't some, I'm going to do this, I'm going to ride my bike all these places. It was, you enjoy being on a bike. You want to meet people. You want to see America, you know, and you like you said, it's, most of the people are going to be great. And they are. I've run into people in my travels that were just, you know, so great. And this is America. And so you are finding joy. And so I don't want anybody to think this is a book about how we should all be out there running and riding bikes 25 miles every day. It is about finding joy.
Yes. So. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right. See you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.